This is Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner. We're going to be talking about the last season concert for the Adrian Symphony Orchestra. And this always, the last one is a little bit different from the other concerts that the ASO does. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that if you don't already know. I'd like to welcome into the Executive Director of the ASO, Libby Watson. Libby, so good to have you with us.
Hi, good evening, Dale.
And also the music director and conductor of the ASO, Bruce Kiesling. Bruce, always good to have you here.
Dale, it's great to be here with you once again.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be coming up real quick here, so we want to make sure that people get their tickets for this particular concert, Libby.
Yeah, so we're closing out our 2024-25 season. We finished with Sweet Caroline, and that is happening on Friday, June 6th at Dawson Auditorium on the Adrian College campus. The concert begins at 7:30, but come a little early. We have a pre-concert patio party that's free for all ticket holders that begins at 6:30 out in the lawn outside of Dawson Auditorium. There'll be a cash bar and lawn games, all sorts of fun. So come early, 6:30 on June 6th. That's Friday night, and the concert begins at 7:30.
Now, being that it's Sweet Caroline is the title of the concert, Bruce, I would imagine it's going to be somebody that we really, really know the type of music that this is related to.
Absolutely. You probably are guessing right because you're thinking Neil Diamond, for
it's,
sure.
Yeah.
And we'd like to say Neil Diamond will be here, but we have the next best thing. And this is actually a band that goes under the title Nearly Diamond. So Nearly Diamond.
I like that.
And, this guy is a professional sort of recreator, so a tribute band, but someone who doesn't just like do the songs, but really recreates the entire concert experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Neil Diamond had an incredible career in the late 70s and into the 80s. But he's really had a big resurgence, you know, not just when we go to every party and people are singing Sweet Caroline, but his music has just had this way of influencing so many other artists.
Yeah.
As that singer-songwriter era of the late 70s, and he crossed over into pop and even movies, of course, with a jazz singer, etc. And so I think that our audience is really going to be compelled by this great music, have a wonderful time. You know, this particular concert is really known for being a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we've had Beach Boys programs here. We've had, last year, the Eagles, who was such a hit. So we really think that in that tradition, this is just a great way to wrap up our season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that he's had so many songs.
Absolutely.
Over his career.
Yeah, and I checked it out before we came because I wanted to see some of those details. You know, 10 top 10 hits, but 10 number ones.
Yeah.
And 38 songs in the top 10, which is really incredible.
It is.
He's in the Songwriting Hall of Fame. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, you know, not bad for a guy who grew up in Brooklyn, you know, in the 1960s. And his story is really interesting. He remembers going to high school with Barbara Streisand. They were classmates. And, you know, he said, we weren't good friends, but we both just kind of hung out in front of the school smoking cigarettes. But then he eventually moved to a different school closer to Coney Island over there and finished high school there. But some of the interesting stories about what made him want to be a songwriter is he was at a summer sort of resort up in the Catskills.
Yeah.
And Pete Seeger performed. And everybody in the audience just went crazy for Pete Seeger's music. And he thought, wow, look at the way this happened.
Yeah.
And so he had a guitar at that point, but really couldn't play it. But after seeing Pete Seeger play and do stories and songs and all that, he went home, he said, after that weekend away and started learning to play the guitar and almost right away started writing songs.
Wow.
And so in addition to the songs, this is the other really great part of the story, I thought, is he's like, you know, I started writing poems to try and get girls' attention. And so he found that this was really effective, so much so that his friends would say, hey, will you write a poem for me, to say to, you know, whoever, Rosalie or whatever.
Right.
And so he was sort of ghostwriting songs, which is very Cyrano de Bergerac, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's sort of ghostwriting these poems for his friends to read to the girls that they were wooing. And this was how he got into kind of writing lyrics, because he just found it was a really compelling way to attract the attention of those other classmates that he wanted. And so that's how he eventually melded those two things, these poems that he was writing, as well as the songs that he was learning to do on the guitar, etc. So that's sort of how it all started for him. And I think that's a true American songwriter story.
It is.
Just trying to meet ladies.
Yeah.
And that's how it all started. And then the other thing I thought was real interesting is that he went to NYU. But he went there on a fencing scholarship.
Fencing?
Yeah. So he was on the NCAA national team.
Wow.
People said, you know, I love to just kind of dig around about composers' history, whether we're talking about Mozart or Beethoven, or why not Neil Diamond?
Yeah.
The same sort of thing. So he went to NYU on a fencing scholarship. And about, I think it was just 6 or 8 weeks before graduation, he was offered a songwriting contract with a publisher in New York. And they said, okay, well, we need you to start right away. And it pays $50 a week.
Oh, wow.
And it was a short-term thing. I think it was only 12 or 16 weeks, but he could, you know, make $50 a week for this 12 weeks. And he thought about it. He's like, I'm 8 weeks away from graduation. He never finished school.
No kidding.
Yeah, so he took the job, and kind of the rest is history in that. Now, I was also like, okay, so in 1969 or 70 when that happened, what was $50 a week? And it seemed like it was about $500 today. So a little better than it sounds.
Yeah.
But still, for a student right out there, right out of school, getting a job, writing songs, you know, and sort of plugging them for other people. You know, they used to have A&R reps where an artist would have someone at the record company who would go looking for songs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person would plug those songs and say, hey, I wrote a song that maybe this artist could do. You know, this is for Andy Williams. This is for the Bee Gees. This is for whoever. And he made that crossover with all those fantastic songs into being his own songwriter, for sure.
Yeah, as you referred to that, Bruce, is that, you know, there are some songs that we know that were written by Neil Diamond that Neil recorded later and, of course, weren't as big as hits, but, you know, as for the original group, like, for example, like you said, the Bee Gees or the Monkees, I think was one of them. I think it was I'm a Believer is one of them. And
that is a Neil Diamond song.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm a Believer.
It was a big hit, you know, for the Monkees, you know, and then, of course, when he recorded it, it's just, well, it's not the Monkees, you know. Yeah, Diamond's fine, but it wasn't the Monkees.
And that song,
Red Wine
was also a Neil Diamond song.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so kind of like Carole King, they're similar eras. You know, they were both writing songs. I mean, Carole wrote for everybody.
Yeah, she did.
But also Neil Diamond for some of those people, too. But as we list down, you know, his hit songs, it is like the song started in my head. And, you know, I was just perusing our brochure here and the songs that we mentioned, you know, Forever in Blue Jeans, Cracklin' Rosie, Cherry Cherry, as you mentioned, I'm a Believer. And then those were all prior to like 1980 when he kind of hit it so big with Love on the Rocks in America when he made his film debut.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been so much made of Lady Gaga in this most recent remake of A Star is Born.
Right.
But a similar story for his film, The Jazz Singer. And certainly, gosh, I remember going to see that when I was a kid. And he went on a tour, a huge stadium tour after that. And there were lasers and everything. I mean, you know, when we talk about that era of, you know, his career and Barbara Streisand's career, it's hard to explain, I think, to young people how big those artists were. Because they were every bit as big and as famous as the biggest touring acts of Adele and Lady Gaga. I mean, truly, they were absolute stars. And everything they were touching was important. People were like, this is the new Neil Diamond song, and perhaps best exemplified with that great song, You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which he wrote and recorded. And then on a total fluke, Barbara Streisand recorded in the same key.
Oh, wow.
And it was a DJ at a radio station in New York who edited them together. Because he noticed that they had done this song in the same key.
Wow.
So kind of as a joke, he edited it together. And that song started to get a lot of attention. And people assumed it was real.
Yeah.
But it was something that he had just kind of cut together, this DJ in New York. And so not fools, the two of them were like, we got to get this recorded for ourselves so we can start making money off this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was doubly rewarding for Neil as one of the songwriters. Because, of course, he made money as the songwriter as well as performer.
Yeah.
But that's how that duet started was just a fluke because they happened to have recorded it in the same key. And so it was easy to edit the two things together.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, we could do that with technology. You can change keys around and stuff like that, even after the fact. So all the mashups that you hear, that you can pretty much fake any song. But back then in 1980, when that came out, that was pretty rare to have two, especially a male and a female artist who have, you know, very different vocal ranges usually. So it truly was a real fluke.
Yeah.
And a tribute to his great songwriting, that song really caught on. And there was a very famous Grammy performance where the two of them sang together and she shed a tear and touched his face. And oh my gosh, people just went absolutely crazy for that. It was so fantastic. So
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, you'll get to hear all those songs that we mentioned. And what we love about this particular concert is the great energy that it brings. Kicking off the summer, you know, Libby mentioned the patio party. So it really has a very different vibe than most of our concerts, which usually take place in the cold. You know, we're like, get inside as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Here it's kind of the opposite. Get there early, enjoy the outdoors, then come in for some really, really fun music. You'll see people getting up, a little bit of dancing, people having a really good time. And it's not your typical symphony vibe, I'll say
No,
that.
That's right.
But
yes.
It is a lot of fun, and it's just a great way every year to wrap up our season.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's always a great way to end the season. So we tantalize a lot of the people about, you know, it's going to be the music of Neil Diamond. And I just think the tribute band, the name Nearly Diamond, is just, I just crack up. But I think it's, wow, that is very clever. So we want people to get their tickets to be able to come to this, Libby.
Yes, thank you, Dale. So again, the concert title is Sweet Caroline. It's happening Friday, June 6th at 7:30 at Dawson Auditorium on the Adrian College campus. That pre-concert patio party begins at 6:30, and tickets are available online on our website, adriansymphony.org. On the website, you can take a look at the seat map and select exactly which seat you'd like to sit in for the concert. You're also welcome. We're always happy to take phone calls as well. That phone number is 517-264-3121. And you can talk to Ann there in the box office about your ticket choices. And also, we'll have that box office open on June 6th at Dawson Auditorium 2 hours before the concert. So beginning at 5:30, we'll have the box office open for any last-minute ticket additions. When you bring your friends who decide at the last minute to come along with you, you can purchase those additional tickets at the box office.
Any thanks that you would like to mention?
Yeah, we'd love to thank our season supporters, Plainwave Instruments, of course, for their title sponsorship this season, and sponsorships from the Michigan Arts and Culture Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Lenawee Community Foundation as well, have been hugely supportive, and we want to thank the Maurice and Dorothy Stubnitz Foundation for the guest artist underwriting that have helped to bring in such excellent guest artists to us all season long, including Nearly Diamond as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, being this is the last concert of the season, do I assume that you're already working for next season, Bruce?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've made an announcement at the last concert where we talk about the great orchestral programs coming up. But we're really excited, particularly for next year, which I'm sure we'll be back to talk about.
Oh, yes.
But the balance that we have of sort of popular music in terms of Broadway and film music, as well as this June concert, which we're excited about too, a local pop music trend, which we'll be sharing with you, as well as obviously some really great orchestral music as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sweet Caroline, Friday, June 6th, 7:30 p.m., Dawson Auditorium. Don't forget the patio party at 6:30. A lot of great things will be happening there to kind of get you all into the mood for that. So make sure you get your tickets right away. Libby Watson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dale. Till next time.
Until next time. Bruce Kiesling as well. Until next season.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Dale.
This has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gardner. We'll talk again soon.